For some of us, personal finances aren't just personal. They include a lot more people than ourselves. Loved ones, neighbors, the communities we call home, and the causes we hold in our hearts. At Thrivent, we help plan your financial picture with the bigger picture in mind. Because even though our business is helping guide your finances, our ambition is to make it mean so much more. Thrivent, where money means more. Connect with us at Thrivent.com.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Bang.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Now Wendell on the run out, game one, a dunk!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Earlier on the show, NFL draft prospect Fernando Mendoza, Raiders general manager John Spytek, NFL draft prospect Casey Concepcion. Coming up, the Ringer NFL draft analyst Todd McShay. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Here we are on our draft week coverage heading to Pittsburgh, PA later on this week. We already had Fernando Mendoza and Casey Concepcion wrapped around the general manager of the Las Vegas Raiders, John Spytek. If you missed any of it, it's sitting out there on our YouTube channel, which is also where you can catch the latest episode of Overreaction Monday, which is now in the books as well, getting you set for 3 days of our draft coverage here Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday on the Rich Eisen Show. I'll be on NFL Network Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Our Disney Plus page, our podcast coverage, as well as how you can catch up on anything that you missed. Speaking of missing, he has been found, ladies and gentlemen, back from, speaking of Las Vegas, Nevada, yes, back from WrestleMania 42, living his best life. Ladies and gentlemen,
yes,
DJ Jefferson.
DJ,
yes, indeed. Yes,
good
indeed.
To see you. Good
great
to see you.
Great weekend, bro.
Let me tell you something.
Awesome.
I know that.
I mean,
good to see you.
It was a rough time getting here today, but I'm happy to be here talking.
Good.
In the building.
Speaking of a rough time, you know, apparently Todd, your mom told you that that I've been trash talking you.
Yeah, she knows. She don't like that.
Let me tell you something. If I don't mean to, I'm not going to
choose
tell
words
your mom.
Carefully,
I understand that. I am not going. I am not going to say that your mom was wrong. She's absolutely right.
Okay, because you know she's
guilty as charged.
Rich, I just want to warn you. She's like 12-0 in street brawls, so you don't want those problems.
TJ sounds like he's got Super Bowl partying voice right there. Huh?
Yep.
Like he spent the weekend in Las Vegas, Nevada, living it up.
Last night was rough.
Okay. Right. Normally we get directly to our in-studio guest,
Todd,
and don't completely ignore him over the first 2 minutes of the segment.
This
ladies
is
and
worth it, though, man.
From the Ringer, Todd McShay is here in person.
I like,
sorry, man.
I like it here. You got the busting. I mean,
yeah,
my man had a tough cab ride itself.
Yeah, it was.
Did you have a tough cab ride all the way from LAX 10 minutes away?
Yeah, there was construction, and he was trying. He goes, you're going by downtown, right? I was like, no, sir.
Downtown El Segundo.
Yeah, not downtown Los Angeles.
No, just literally. But anyway, it's good to have you here.
It's great to be here.
And good to have you here,
bud. It's great to be here.
Yeah,
you're nice digs, man. It's my first time here.
Don't go so high a register like you're surprised about how nice the
I like
are.
This chair, too. I might take it with me.
Okay.
Do it.
Yeah. We had Olivia Munn sit in that chair just a week ago, and she's like, I don't want to sit in it.
She couldn't
swapped it out for Brockman, so I like that you like this.
Yeah. Good.
Very good. Good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you, man. Big week.
Look, what do you have there on your right? What are you at
I just
there?
Got a bunch of notes that are pretty much useless. But
why is it useless?
Because it changes. It feels like every phone call I make. I do this every year, right? I'm like, I poured in 12 months of tape study and evaluations, and then we'd talk to sources about medicals and character, and we go to the Senior Bowl, and we go to the Combine, and then you get like 10 days before the draft, and you get crazy, right? That's why I lock in my grades. I'm not going to mess that up. But then I look back in the draft on like Sunday and Monday, and I'm like, what did I care about? Why was it so important? They're fun conversations, and talking a lot of ball, and players get a lot of information.
Right.
But like, yeah, it's probably going to be Arvell Reese at 2. But then 3 hours from now, it might be David Bailey at 2. And who knows? Like, there's a lot of calls being made for trades, but it doesn't mean that any of these are going to wind up happening, depending on how the board stacks. So, yeah, it's been a whirlwind, as it always is this time of year.
So then let's just jump into this first. But first things first, draft night. What are you doing? Draft night?
Netflix.
Okay.
First year on. We're excited. Last year we just started our show 18 months ago, the McShay Show on the Ringer and Spotify. And this year we have teamed up with Netflix, and we're going to do live coverage. If you're not watching the NFL Network, and we all have multiple screens, come on. My co-host Steve Mensch and I are going to be doing the show. And yeah, we're excited about the coverage on Thursday night and Friday night.
So, not to tell you how to do it, obviously Simmons is, you know, somebody who knows about television, but you know how each time there's a draft pick that's made, you hear something on the ESPN coverage of the NFL Network that pick is in.
Yep.
You have to use the ta-doom every single time a pick is made. Don't
I've been talking to the folks. We need
ta-doom.
Yeah, we need
that's one way to announce that.
That's what it should be.
How is it?
I'm actually.
That should be mandatory. Yeah,
no brainer.
Put a little note in.
No
here.
Brainer.
The to doom.
How do you spell to doom?
I would go T-U-D-U-M. Isn't that how they spell it?
Isn't that how they spelled it?
That's how they spelled it for the event.
Yeah, maybe like
T-U-D-U-M.
That's what we do.
I need, like, just have Simmons run it up the flagpole.
Yep. We got plenty of time.
He could probably call Sarandos himself. He's probably can just text him.
I'm certain.
Like, go straight. Like, don't even mess around with anybody that's not Ted Sarandos. Hey, Ted, I need the to-doom for the McShay Show.
That's it.
If it's not that, you're doing it wrong.
I am.
The fact that you're doing it is awesome. I don't mean to tell you.
And I'm going to text you after the first pick when Mendoza's in.
Yes.
And I'm going to, and you're going to have to take your ear out and be like,
to-doom. Right, yeah. Yep. I mean, ESPN and NFL Network might have a problem with me saying that on the air, but I'll just do that between you and I.
Yeah, that's text me. It's a private thing.
Text me to doom.
That's it.
T-U-D-U-M.
I will.
And I'll know what that means. It's like Poyos in Breaking Bad. So which player that the Jets doesn't take will spark a trade at three more than anyone else? So what I'm saying, they take Reese. Will there be a trade at three for Bailey? Or if they take Bailey, they'll be more likely to have a trade at three.
That's a good question.
Thank you, sir.
I actually think the lean right now is Reese after thinking it was Bailey. You talk to different people. No one knows definitively except Muji and I'm sure one or two people in that building.
So you think the Jets will take Reese at two?
Right now, I think the Jets will take Reese. I heard over a week ago that it's Bailey. Let's get the guy that we know is a pass rusher. The more information I get, Muji's like a human risk assessment firm. And so
so
common knowledge.
By the way, that's the way any new general manager of the New York Jets should be.
It's 100%.
Risk management, risk averse.
100%.
That's the word. So risk shouldn't even
they've
be
got
in your
the right
mindset.
Guy, they've got the right guy for that job.
Right.
But I guess the first thought would be, oh, then let's take the player who is a proven pass rusher, right? But if you really look at it, like, what if David Bailey's a DPR, a designated pass rusher? Because he's not great versus the run. He's got a little bit of tightness. Then you get Arvell Reese. Like, the worst case is you've got a great off-ball linebacker who can rush. Best case is, I'm not saying anyone's going to be Micah Parsons, but we have a conversion that becomes exceptional from off-ball to edge. So that's just the information I've gotten recently. I'm going to hang with it until I hear something different. So at three, then, let's say it's Bailey. Ironically, I actually think, because the teams that might want to trade up are going to try to be winning now, like a Kansas City at nine, but I don't think that's going to happen. Like a Dallas at 12, but I don't think that's going to happen. Would maybe prefer a Bailey because they know what they're getting. There's no, like, this year to kind of work through, can he make the conversion? So the other thing I'm hearing at three, here's what I hear at three.
Yes.
There's some important voices that want Jeremiah Love.
In Arizona.
Ooh. Right? And then the other thing I'm hearing is, and I think we've all heard this, is the number one priority would be to move back. Now, why do you want to move back if you're Arizona? And obviously you have to get a trade partner, but you want to move back because then you can take your offensive tackle, let's say Francis Maui-Noah, even if it's 3, 4, 6 picks later,
yes,
at a better value. And that's where those tackles kind of belong. And also Ty Simpson. Try to get some extra ammunition to make sure we're set up where we can still draft other positions, but we can move back into the first round to go get him. So that part's fascinating to me. And I'll throw out one last thing.
Please.
I just get this sense, the team that's going to blow this whole thing up in a great way could be the Rams right here in this city. Because why do you take Mekhi Lemon, who's an awesome player and fits exactly what they want, toughness, run after catch, contact balance, all those things, when in that system, I compared it yesterday to attraction. Like, there are some beautiful human beings, males and females, but some you're more attracted to than others. And the next person on the line might be attracted to the other person. Well, for the Rams, they're attracted to this kind of wide receiver. They've proven, and they, this year's draft has, the same type of wide receiver in a Dejon Stribling in the second round. Jeremy Bernard could be there in the second round. So that 13th pick becomes interesting. And if it is back to FM picks, and maybe they could trade up for the guy that would actually make the biggest impact and difference on this football team in Jeremiah Love and give away 2027. And Arizona said, well, now we got extra insurance. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
And I also know
they really like Ty Simpson, but that's a whole different discussion.
The Rams
it doesn't fit with anything I'm hearing. But the biggest thing is I just think that they can get that receiver in the second round. And why do they care about a 2027 pick if it's all in on this year?
Right.
I don't know.
So, all right. You said a few things.
I know. Sorry.
No, it's okay. It's all good. Let's start with the other, what you just finished with. The Rams would move from 13 to 3. Which would have to be...
I haven't heard this anywhere, but it makes a lot of football sense.
That's expensive in its own right, and I'd imagine there'd have to be an upcharge because it's a division opponent that's owning three.
That's a tough one, yes.
Right. So that's one thing. And Jeremiah Love, but I mean, he would make an impact, but I mean, they also have two terrific running backs right now. I understand you technically think Love, based on how everyone loves him and he's that great, would be somewhat of an upgrade based on what they currently have. So that's interesting. So Reese would be the one that the Jets pass on that would spark the most interest at three.
Honestly, talking to people around the league, I think so. Okay. But with the specific teams that we've heard more about maybe trading up, the Saints for an edge rusher potentially, but not up to three.
Right.
I think five becomes an interesting spot, or even six, to get ahead of Washington. If you're the Saints, 12. We talk about Jerry's going to pull a big blockbuster move, but it's been like since 2014 since they've moved up in the first three rounds.
And for who would that be? Right, everyone's pegging Sonny Styles as somebody that the Cowboys covet.
I was told most recently, if there were to be a move, it would be for an edge. I thought it could be Styles. It fits that system, and maybe it will be. But I was told it would be an edge. But history tells us that that's not something that they're going to eagerly do and kind of get all excited and make a move that a bad move. I actually, if I had to bet, Dallas is more likely to move back from 20. There's going to be a tackle run that happens, and all of a sudden it's musical chairs. And you get 21 is Pittsburgh, 23 is Philadelphia. You've got behind them.
You got the Chargers there, and then the
Chargers, Bears at 25, San Fran at 27, Houston at 28. One of those teams, like, you tell me how he's just going to sit there and wait for an offensive tackle to fall. Now, I'm not saying that they're not going to make that move within division, but there's going to be a little movement. And it may be, I'd like to be Tampa at 15 or the Jets at 16. That's where Howie might make his move to go up and get a guy because you're sitting there at 17 and everyone knows Detroit's taking a tackle.
Where does Carnell Tate go?
Carnell Tate, it's funny because 2 weeks ago, Jordan Tyson, he's not tough, medical, he's falling.
But then he runs.
Then he doesn't even run a 40, he does the workout.
Right, this is workout. Right?
Workout, yeah. Last Friday at Arizona State. Looks great by all accounts.
Right.
Seen a couple little videos. But now it's like the Giants, that thing might be real. And you can't, if you love Jordan Tyson, and look at last year, like last year, we kind of knew exactly what they wanted, right? Mm-hmm. And they spent the time, and they're not big at like hiding what their intentions. Joe Shane certainly isn't, right? So if that's real with Jordan Tyson, you can't wait till 10, because Tyson could go at 8 to the Saints, right? I would say it starts with Carnell Tate at 8.
Huh.
Hmm. 8. Okay. With the Saints.
All right. With the Saints, and then you got the Chiefs, and now the Giants again at 10.
Right.
Interesting. So
I thought it was Sonny Styles at 5 for the Giants. Apparently, it may not
That's
be.
That's all I'm hearing is that the Giants don't want Sonny Styles. That word is on the street.
It's on the
sir.
Street.
It is on the draft street, which means Sonny Styles is going to be a Giant.
Honestly.
Let's be honestly. Straight up here. It's I mean, lying who season, the hell baby. Knows? You know, so, and in that respect, the trade for Dexter Jackson for 10th overall, what do you think the Giants' plan is at 5 and 10 then? To go shopping here.
I think you can get Tyson. I mean, I know you can get Tyson at 5.
Of course.
I don't think you can get him at 10.
Interesting.
They'd
make Tyson the first wide receiver off the board?
Why wouldn't they trade out of that spot, though? What if Arvell Reese or David Bailey is still there at 5?
Well, I mean, you rip the knob off there, don't you think? If you're the Giants, you just take him. Don't you?
No.
Why?
You take another edge rusher?
Well, I mean, I don't know.
You try to move back. There's going to be your phone's going to be ringing. Ringing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be the Saints call. You telling me Mickey Loomis is going to see an edge get to 5 and not want to go for Brendan Staley's right. defensive system and how
Trade
important that edge is?
Amassing.
So you move back. So yeah, now you got pick 8 and 10 and Cleveland's going to take an offensive tackle if they don't move out. And if they move out, it could be for, I don't know why they would move out. But Cleveland takes an offensive tackle. At 7, it's going to be Sonny Styles. That's the floor for Sonny Styles.
What if Love's still sitting there? Right? What a fascinating first.
But I'm told Love, if Love doesn't go 3, he goes 4. And I'm told if Love doesn't go 4, he goes 5.
The Giants would take him.
That's what I'm hearing. Whew, we're going to have fun Thursday. This draft isn't very good. I can't wait for 2027. Get out of here, man.
The first 80 to 100 minutes of this draft is going to be intense. Because we don't really, after Mendoza, the names are could be anybody. Could be a Matt.
We
know the names. We don't know which name it's going to be. Yes. It's very hard to pinpoint. And, yes. how the, and the ripple effect trades and the other aspects of it. You know,
but if you're the Giants, there's a scenario where you could get your Jordan Tyson and your Caleb Downs.
Well, I mean, Downs has been sharpied in at 10 to the Bengals. Now, you know, a lot of people had Downs 5 to the Giants. They could now positionally feel a little bit better to get Downs.
Who would have thought a couple weeks ago that you get a much better shot to get Downs at 10 than Jordan Tyson?
Not me.
And is it all real?
No doubt.
That's why I told you these notes are useless.
Hey, you haven't referred to them once. Yeah, but brought them out, which is a flex.
It's like a binky.
Yeah.
Here, just grab one of them, and we'll see how this can work on Thursday night. Just grab one of them. Grab any note. Grab it.
Well, this is This is the mock draft that keeps.
Okay, getting, there you go.
Yeah.
Just can we get a clear shot of ready? You grab the note. He's done it. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Go grab it. Ta-doom. 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 See how that works?
I like this.
You're welcome. Let's take a break. More with Todd McShay of The Ringer, who's going to be on Netflix Ta-doom on Thursday night. If I don't hear a Ta-doom, then I don't know, man. I'll feel disrespected.
I'm going to make a text right now and break.
Yeah, there you go. Ted Sarandos is going to get a text. Maybe not for McShay.
Not for me.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
For some of us, personal finances aren't just personal. They include a lot more people than ourselves. Loved ones, neighbors, the communities we call home, and the causes we hold in our hearts. At Thrivent, we help plan your financial picture with the bigger picture in mind. Because even though our business is helping guide your finances, our ambition is to make it mean so much more. Thrivent, where money means more. Connect with us at Thrivent.com.
Rich Eisen here. Every time I travel for a major sports moment, whether it's a playoff run or a huge primetime matchup, I see firsthand what happens to a city. Hotels fill up fast, energy builds, everyone wants to be part of it. Now imagine that on a global scale. The FIFA World Cup is coming this summer, people, and with it, thousands of fans traveling to host cities across the country. If you happen to live in one of those cities and you're planning to be away, maybe you've got your own summer trip lined up, this could be a practical opportunity. While you're gone, you could list your space on Airbnb and welcome traveling fans who want to experience the FIFA World Cup in person.
You're not changing your routine. You're not committing to anything year-round. You're simply making the most of a moment when your city is in the global spotlight. I know when I'm on the road for a huge event, having a comfortable home base makes all the difference. And that's what fans will be searching for. If you've ever thought about listing your space, this summer is a great time as we welcome FIFA World Cup fans. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Draft season is here, and everybody's talking about franchise players, blockbuster trades, and the moves that can reshape a team. When it comes to your home, Pella Windows and Doors is the kind of pick you can trust, especially after another long winter with your old windows. Discover why Pella Windows and Doors is a trusted choice for homeowners everywhere. Visit Pella.com/Eisen today. That's Pella.com/Eisen. Make life brighter with Pella Windows and Doors. Todd McShay here on the Rich Eisen Show. Todd McShay of The Ringer, The McShay Show, live on Netflix. What time are you going on the air on Thursday?
Half hour before.
Okay.
Yeah.
Before the Raiders get put on the clock. That's right. I'm telling you, it's a winner. You mentioned Ty Simpson. The Rams are interested in him?
I'm not saying they are. I'm just saying I feel like something's going on at 13.
At 13.
I'm just saying. I feel like I told you
what is going on.
I just don't know that they're going to sit there and take a Mekhi Lemon when they can get a Stribling or a Jeremy Bernard or one of those guys who fit just as well.
Right.
And I gave the attraction comparison because, like, when I watch the tape, one's more dynamic. That's Lemon. Right. But for their offense, they're looking for something very specific. And yes. So for them, the gap has got to be not that great between those three receivers. So if I can get one in the second and I've got 2027 draft capital to give up, yes, which is unbelievably valuable, maybe I could make a move up. And then the other part is, if I can get that guy in the second, it just feels like Les Snead's sitting here cooking something.
Rather than sticking and picking.
Maybe he could stick and pick. And I'm saying it would be and I'm not saying it's going to be Ty Simpson. I'm not trying to get like all that attention.
That would be wild.
Something feels weird right now with the Rams pick at 13, because I'm not buying that they're just going to hang there, take Mekhi Lemon, and we'll see you at pick 61 or whatever it is.
Won't Mekhi Lemon already be a Dolphin by them anyway?
I don't know,
at 11?
They've got so... I think the Dolphins should continue to trade back if it's a possibility and use all the – what do they have? They have four in the third, two in the – they have seven picks in the first top 100.
Right.
Like, have you looked at that roster with all due respect?
Indeed.
So they need a lot of those guys, and they need them to be players right away. So best player available, like if there's a tackle there, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't they take Venga Ioane if they have him that high? Yes, they could go wide receiver, but there's a lot of receivers you can get late first, second, third. Like I just mentioned Stribling and Bernard. There's Chris Bell from Louisville coming off the injury, but my gosh, is he talented. You've got Antonio Williams. You've got Bryce Lane, Trey Lance's younger brother from North Dakota State. Uh-huh. Chris Brazel, two guys who are like 6'4". Lean but can fly in the 4.3. So there's receivers to get on day two. So I think you just sit there for your Eric Sullivan in his first go round. Plus he's a Green Bay guy. Like, we're taking a pass catcher? I don't know.
In the first round,
right? Unless you're breaking free of the chains.
That would be, well, they did last year.
Right. But
they actually went and got Matthew Golden, which was one of the greatest draft moments I can recall in the last 20 something years.
Yeah.
Mark Murphy gets up there in front of all those fans and say, guess what? You've been telling us to do this thing. Here's your first round wide receiver.
Right.
Okay. So you feel something big, like more likely that the Rams trade up rather than stick and pick Ty Simpson, that's for sure.
Right. I do. Simpson, I'm just saying, I keep hearing there's a Ty Simpson team. And hey, Ty Simpson's going definitively round one. And no one.
I've heard that.
Yes.
Late round one. More
likely. No one's saying. I'm just saying, I don't want anyone to be totally blown away, but I think it's more likely. If everything's about 2027 and Stafford's there, you know, maybe just one more year. Why do we care? And we've shown as an organization we will do something
right wild.
Well,
and plus he was part of the Thomas Dimitroff front office.
Yes,
that Julio Jones did.
Yes,
that went all the way up to go get Julio Jones.
And I don't have information on this outside. I know that there's a chance that they could get a receiver that fits what they want
later on,
a little bit later on,
and so they move up. And you think Love would be the move up big time?
I think he could be. I mean, I don't know.
I got you.
Yeah. I'm just saying, when we get to 13, I'll send you another ta-doom text when something happens.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
It'll work. Yeah, that is for sure. What are we not talking about then? What do we need to be talking about?
We talked about the offensive tackles. They're going to fly off the board.
Yes. There he goes. Ta-doom. Yes. Going for his notes.
Notes. Ta-doom.
Okay. What do you got?
I think there's going to be movement. I would say the wide receivers then become interesting because there's a scenario. We're talking about Tyson going earlier than expected.
Yes.
Carnell Tate going about where we expected him, somewhere in the top 10, right? Yes, uh-huh. Then after that, what if it's not Mekhi Lemon going to the Dolphins or to the Rams? So then he kind of falls down a little bit, but not far. Yes. Then you got the Jets sitting there at 16. You would think that would be a Lemon team, right?
Mm-hmm.
Talking to everyone, it's funny because I like Omar Cooper Jr. a lot, I think the national media was a little bit higher. When I talk to teams, it's Concepcion consistently as the fourth receiver, maybe fifth at worst. Denzel Boston,
mm-hmm.
I get it. Like, he's not a great separator, but he is big. He's physical. It translates to the NFL from down to like his intelligence testing, the like, spatial awareness. There's a lot of traits that tell you he is an absolute hit in the first round, and teams in the league know it. So I think we get in that range where it's like every other pick is going to feel like an offensive tackle. It's going to be interesting where these wide receivers get sprinkled in, and I think that starts with the Jets, but there could be four of them between 16 and 32. I'm told Seattle's wants to get out. They want to move back and get Jadarian Price or one of the running backs, get an extra pick, though, and not get locked in there.
Hmm. Well, I mean, how far would they move back? Because Price is obviously the second running back that's going to go. Right?
Yeah, he is.
Why wouldn't they just
get
a fifth-year contractual control on him? Why don't they do something like that?
I mean, they could. But everyone I talk to is like, Seattle's one of the teams that could move out. Yeah. Yeah. Then the second round, I know this isn't, but in the second round, now the Giants have an accelerated needed interior defensive lineman. Is Cade McDonald going to come off the board? He would be. And then you've got Peter Woods. Some teams still have a first-round grade on Peter Woods, the Clemson defensive tackle.
Okay.
And then you got about – there's typically around 9 to 11 interior defensive linemen that go in the top 100. I still think we're going to have around that number, but it's all going to be backloaded in the second round. But there are some teams early in that second round that really need interior defensive linemen, so we can see that run start there.
Yeah, I mean, Simpson to the Cardinals, just everybody's yelling it.
Everybody's so if you are a team,
yes,
and you're that quiet team that I keep hearing, and maybe it's just nonsense, mm-hmm. but I've heard it from several people now. If you are a team, you know that Arizona is going to try to move up. And if you're Arizona, you're not ignorant to the fact that you might not be the only one. And everyone's saying it's the Jets or Cardinals, and maybe that's the case. I think the Jets would consider him at 33. I don't think that they're in a position to move up.
If they do that.
Everything you've done strategically is to get it right for 2027.
And that's what conditioned your fan base. They have done an excellent job of conditioning the fan base for 2027.
I think it's a front. I think it's a front. I think the Jets are letting people know in the media nationally that it's that they're more interested in Ty Simpson than they actually are.
They're not ready for him yet.
No.
That's why Dante Moore was like, I'm not even coming. I'm sure that Oregon gave him a nice pretty penny to stay.
They did.
You know, and I wouldn't blame any.
But they'll be a heck of a lot more ready next year.
You mean in 2027?
Yes.
1,000,000%.
Yes, I agree with you.
Yeah, we're on the same page. I think so for sure. And they have conditioned their fan base to say, you know, we told the Dallas Cowboys we'll take the two this year and we'll take the one next year.
Yep.
And for them that, and for them then to turn around and take a kid with just 15
it looks disorganized
in the second round, not the first. You don't even get the fifth year of contractual control.
Mm-hmm.
You don't flip any of your draft capital, just move a few spots in and take the kid and get the fifth year of contractual control and then tell the fan base, guess what? That whole point for next year, we'll get all these weapons for him right now and Gino will help coach him up. That just, it doesn't make sense to do that. But I understand if they want to make it seem like a front, hey, Arizona, you better trade in front of us or we'll take him or trade with us. But anybody who wants him was going to want that fifth year of contractual control. It's just that, but I find it hard to believe any other way.
I think we've been in this, doing this long enough.
Right.
The Jets hugely benefit from Arizona trading up ahead of them because that may
kick one of the other
position players down to them.
And they have the catbird seat Friday night pick, which is kind of wild. I read that in Schefter's piece today too, Chris. I don't know if you read all the way down.
Yeah, I got it.
But the Raiders winning their final game didn't affect their ability to choose first overall in the first round, but it did over the next three rounds because they were tied for the same record with the Jets and the Titans,
right,
and the Cardinals,
and I think
who now round robin who chooses first in the rounds two, right, three, and four, and the Jets got the second round, which is the most important one. If you're not getting the first,
is it four of the last 5 years that that 33rd pick is, or that first pick in the second round has been traded? Something it's
it
a high rate
a lot because there's a lot of talk.
So by Arizona,
a whole night of sleeping on it, and we're being able to make phone calls.
So by Arizona moving up. Because of knowledge that we got to get ahead of the Jets.
Right.
Not only could it kick down a player you want, but it could kick down a player that someone drafting behind you wants and would be more eager to
go get you.
Adds value to that third.
No doubt about it. All right. And then who are we looking at for, because we're not going to be talking with you before next Friday. Who's a second day pick that you're like, that this is the winner. This is who you should take second round. Who are you not talking about?
Well, the names right now are Jacob Rodriguez could sneak into the first.
Mm-hmm.
Tre'Davious Stoops, the nickel safety from everyone I talk to in the league. You go back to the interception against Arizona State. Some of the he's a guy in today's NFL with that versatile chess piece. Mm-hmm. You know, they could. I don't know that Stoops sneaks into the first, but that would be my guy in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
And I get he has athletic limitations. Gabe Akis from Illinois. I'm going to give a double to Doom when he gets drafted.
Why is that?
I just, it translates power, heavy hands, motor, wrestling background. Like Trey Hendrickson, the wrestling background. Mm-hmm. He was 2-time state champion in the state of Florida in high school. I think he was 46-2 as a wrestler. Won the first state championship at 220 pounds and up to 280 the next year.
Mm.
This guy's just production.
Didn't the defensive rookie of the year come from the second round last year? Didn't Schlesinger come?
Yes.
From the second round for the Browns?
Yeah. So we got all these other cats at edge, and I think he's going to wind up being a steal in round two.
Okay, man. Yeah. So I appreciate you coming on here.
So, this is awesome.
No, come back anytime you want. Mm-hmm. Have a great draft.
You too, man.
Let me know if you take my production suggestion.
I'm literally going to follow up with that right now.
You have to do that. I think it's the way you should do it.
Why would they say no?
I don't know.
It's branding, right?
I don't know.
Branding.
It is branding. It's the way it should be.
Yeah.
It's free of charge. And I appreciate all the time that you spent on this program hanging with us.
Yeah, man, I love it.
And you know, if you want to come back anytime, just let me know you're in town. Will you please?
Sounds good.
I'd love to get your thoughts on the draft once it's over.
Yeah, we will.
If you're not already on a beach. Good to
see
you.
You can always call in.
Okay, sounds good. That is Todd McShay. Everybody check him on the McShay Show out on Thursday night for the first round coverage. Are you just one night? One night only?
Thursday and Friday. Yeah.
What's wrong with Saturday? What are you doing Saturday?
I'm going to behave right now. And
okay. You want to be on Saturday.
We're doing a review show. By the time you guys are done on Saturday, it will be out and it will serve our audience best because.
Okay.
Because.
Understood.
And then we'll be back for all 32 teams, a two-hour massive breakdown on Sunday.
The McShay Show, everybody, wherever you get your podcasts, on Spotify, courtesy of The Ringer. Thrilled to have you here on the program. We'll be back to talk baseball, and only baseball, when we come back on the program now that TJ is here.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
In a world in need of a hero, one man rises to the challenge in style. He is just driving the kids to soccer practice. Make every day feel epic in an all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid with up to an EPA-estimated 619 miles of range on select trims, advanced tech, and class-leading interior space. Because when you're hauling kids' gear, snacks, and backpacks, space matters. And so does comfort. Just make sure they keep their cleats off the seats. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for details.
I like things my way. My coffee, my schedule, and my treatment. So I talked to my doctor about self-injecting with the VivGuard Hytrulo prefilled syringe, which contains efgartigimod alpha and hyaluronidase QVFC. It's injected under your skin, subcutaneously. It means I can inject in my space, on my time. It's my treatment, my way. Visit VivGuardMyWay.com. That's VYVGARD MyWay.com. And talk to your doctor about VivGuard Hytrulo, brought to you by Argenix.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, if you're running a small business, then you know every hire matters. A bad hire costs time and money, but the right one, well, that helps your business grow. The challenge is finding that person without sorting through resumes, and that's where LinkedIn Hiring Pro comes in. It screens candidates so you can focus on conversations with qualified talent. With Hiring Pro, you can hire with confidence and build the team you need. Join the 2.7 million small businesses using LinkedIn to hire. Get started by posting your job for free at LinkedIn.com/Eisen. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, Mr. LinkedIn, Fernando Mendoza was on this program to start us off. All right. So we mentioned this is the first time we've ever done the Rich Eisen Show on a day that our coordinating producer, Mike Hoskins, celebrates a Buffalo Sabres playoff victory. It's not happened in the 11-plus year history of this program because the Sabres haven't made the playoffs since we've been on the air, let alone had a playoff victory. So congratulations to him. That's the thrill of victory that we love. That's why we follow sports, the thrill of that victory. Look at those fans.
Going nuts.
Banging the glass, going nuts for the victory over the Boston Bruins. They've been waiting for this moment in Western New York. We even have video of them celebrating outside, going crazy, knocking over stanchions and stuff like that because they are just flipping out. They are wigging out.
Wings are up.
And look at the rain. Or is that heavy? Or is that a wintry mix?
That's a wintry mix, man.
And look at them in the mix.
Weatherman can tell you.
But look at them. They're get up. Come on now. Be careful.
Wow.
And look at them lifting it up. The sweet people of Western New York. They're not going crazy.
No. They're close to Canada.
Where they're unable to handle their business.
You know where Tim is.
Josh Allen showing up in a sweater and a hat.
Woo.
A sweater. A Buffalo Sabres sweater.
Why not?
They are living it up. Awesome. Good for them. They have been waiting for this moment. All one connection. This is why we love sports. And so congratulations to Mike Hoskins to be able to be thrilled that victory.
Yeah.
On the other side, it's the first time we've done a Rich Eisen Show where the New York Metropolitans have lost 11 straight Major League Baseball games. And that's a shame. The headline of the New York Post, did you see it?
No.
No.
It says 11 in hell. Devin blows it. As Mets skid keeps growing, they had a 1-0 lead in the ninth inning in Wrigley Field, and their Yankee they just had to have to keep amassing collections of Yankees in a single white female type way. Devin Williams blew it, and they lost in extras. That's 11 in a row.
Man. Yeah, longest since 04. Mets' longest lifetime losing streak, 17, so there's still ways to go.
Well, go for it then.
Yeah. What are we going for? What are we going for?
Break records.
Yeah, huh?
Lose 18 in a row. It don't matter to me no more.
Why? Are you out? Are we signing a piece of paper?
Oh.
Are you doing it? Is this happening? Oh, no, he's not.
Yes.
That's not a Dodger uniform.
Yes. Welcome to the party, TJ. Oh, well, Shay.
Are you serious? Is this happening?
I mean, this is a legitimate jersey. Yeah,
I know that. Did O'Shea Jackson Jr. give this to you?
No. I went to. Then I got to tell you the story.
You did this yourself?
No, it was at a birthday party. Everyone got a Dodger jersey a couple years ago. Go. So
okay,
you know,
so
got it.
So are we doing this?
Ready.
I mean, not today.
Are we doing this?
Oh, where is
it? No, he just put it on.
We need to get
literally,
one.
He literally laid it across his chest, across his heart.
We got to get one made.
You will be so much
more. Get one made.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
You don't have to pay attention.
There's a Dodger certificate for you to sign?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
I don't know.
Come on over.
I'm disgustingly loyal is the problem.
Nah, don't do it.
What have the Mets ever done for you?
That 7-15.
I mean, won. Is that updated with us winning today?
Oh, yeah. Okay, it is.
Great. Thank
9-13.
7-15. Is that right? Are we sure?
Yeah, it's a good four games behind the Yankees who are coming into Fenway Park Tuesday.
Yeah, big week.
Are we sure that record's correct?
Let me go. It is 7-15. It used to be worse. Well, I mean, it's easy. You could do the math. It used to be 7-4.
7-4.
Because I was in Vegas. 7-15. You know, I wasn't really paying attention.
That's 11 straight New York metropolitan losses.
No math in Vegas.
Back when we were in summer camp and I was, you know, wise enough to be a Yankee fan at age 7, we used to sing Meet the Mets to Beat the Mets.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Beat the Mets.
Beat the Mets. Come on out and beat the Mets.
Beat the Mets.
Oh, this is just...
Have you beat us?
Positively delightful.
Well, I mean...
It's great.
Yeah, so you lost 17 during the Mets' first year, 1962.
Yeah. Oh,
wow. A 15-game losing streak in 63 the next year.
I'm curious about more history.
And 82, a 13-game losing streak in 1980.
Wow.
12-game losing streak in 2002.
Okay.
And lost 11 straight in 04.
All right. So that's the most. So it's been 22 years.
Yeah.
Can I take the over?
Man, to have a season-destroying 11-game losing streak before it's even, you know, 420, which I think a whoopie pie goes down well with TJ Plus in a day like today, sir, on 420. just saying. Mr. Met chocolate whoopie pie might just go down quickly. One or two bites and you're through.
Look, we're only a few games under 500.
Oh, man.
Couple games.
Is Sarah Tiana over the moon right now with the Braves performing as well as they are and the Phillies and the Mets just absolutely... Yes. You know, doing something to the bed that can't be mentioned.
And winning the series last, you know, capping the series win last night against the Phillies.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Yeah.
How about that?
I hate the Braves so much.
I love talking baseball. I love talking baseball.
I do. I'm sorry.
This is great.
What do I find?
It's like the Braves, the Eagles, Lakers.
Lakers. Okay. Was O'Shea Jackson Jr. over the moon for, is he here? Is he coming? Is he here today or he didn't decide to come back?
I don't think he leaves until
Okay. Maybe. All right.
So, he's still sleeping.
So the Lakers performed very well.
I know. Surprisingly, he didn't talk a whole lot of trash. I was waiting for it.
Okay.
He barely spoke about
it. Who did you meet at WrestleMania that you'd never met before that you're excited about having met?
That I never met.
That's correct.
Anybody?
You running into somebody?
You know, I met a lot of Rich Eisen Show fans. Oh, that was really cool.
All right.
Nice, nice. But
you're trying to get yourself off the griddle by talking about us collectively here?
Yeah, because the Mets, we don't need to talk about.
We don't. How about the Sixers? You want to talk about them? Okay, very good.
Excuse me?
All right.
My teams stink. I told Brockman this the other day. I have way far too many teams for them all to be whack.
All right. I am.
I hate this team.
So let me put the griddle on me here. Let me do you a favor and finish this show by turning the spotlight to me.
Yeah, do that.
In a manner that this will not go well for me.
Oh
whoa, like whoa.
Not gonna.
What do you mean?
Breaking news. Do you have the breaking news drop?
Oh,
giving you the breaking news drop.
The test came back?
This is not. No, stop it. No, stop it. You're ridiculous.
Here it comes.
And Maria, I see.
Breaking news.
As you know, we're all flying together tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
We're all flying together tomorrow on this flight to
Pittsburgh.
Where are we going?
You know where it's going.
Checking a bag tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Whoa.
I know we're not. I'm not checking a bag.
But you have your own transportation from the airport.
Yeah. I understand that. But I'm checking a bag. It won't affect you. But I'm just letting you know, since I give you guys a bunch of crap, I'm checking a bag.
I'm not going to give you grief for this because...
Why?
You're staying Tuesday to Sunday.
That's true. And I've got to bring suits and different shoes and all that sort of business.
You're not going to give him crap for it.
Yeah, because he's got...
I appreciate that. I thought I was putting myself on the griddle here. Please, have at it.
I mean, it's just like you talk so much trash about us. You've you've basically bullied me into becoming a carry-on person than I really ever was.
I don't think, I think bully is a little too
bully is
strong.
Pretty accurate statement, okay, the way that you.
But you never. But you always do whatever you want to do.
That's also true.
I mean, you bring lunch in your own bag, straight from the plastic. You don't choose paper.
See,
you bring the sandwich.
I mean, that's true. You did
actually that caused all of us to wait at security. Yeah. All right, I promised I wouldn't make it about you. It's about me. Please, you have the floor.
I'm just saying.
I'm checking a bag tomorrow.
You bully me into bringing my own lunch.
Bullying.
I wouldn't have to spend $50 at the airport. So then, the next trip, I decide to go spend $50. He goes, "Why don't you just bring a sandwich with you?" I was like, "This guy is great, Rich."
I mean,
he just
good.
Come on,
That's not bad work.
That's good.
That's
pretty good.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
And I'm checking a bag. You know,
you feel good about that?
No, I don't.
No, yeah, I know.
I don't, because getting out, I really want to get out of Pittsburgh on draft night, and checking a bag might create problems for me.
Hinder you.
It's good for you.
Yeah.
It's not a bad place to get stuck, Pittsburgh. So, yeah, you'll be fine.
Okay. I appreciate it. No, I do love Pittsburgh. It's going to be a great draft city. I cannot wait for it.
That Permane Brothers you went to a major sandwich? Well, I cannot wait. Right near the set.
You know, someone said in the YouTube comments that, Franco and George Washington are no longer at the airport.
No, they moved them.
They've been moved.
Moved. To where?
I don't know.
The T-Rex is still there, though.
That's what someone said. Yeah. T-Rex is still there.
T-Rex is still there.
Franco, G-Dub, gone.
Or you could have just
asked me. When we land.
I better see Franco Harris and George Washington.
I'm sick. And if we don't.
You're not going.
While I'm waiting for my bag, I'm going to go seek out management.
Good.
Yeah.
Who decided? And by the way, where is that statue?
Where'd they go? Yeah.
I would take it.
Oh, that would.
Oh, could you imagine Franco right here in the studio?
I know.
By the way, guys, I don't know how often you go there. The remodel that they've done to that airport.
I'm sure it's wonderful.
You don't have to get on the tram.
I mean,
but Franco, I don't know where they're at. They might be in a different spot, but you can move freely.
All right.
Far quicker through the
Pittsburgh
airport.
Pittsburgh was an old airport.
They hooked it up. Yeah.
We are excited to go. So unfortunately, we're off tomorrow, but that's how we can get out there.
Right. Yeah.
And if you see us in Pittsburgh, let us know where Franco is and where the Mets victories are, please.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to The Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.